Today's first reading is the kind of summary passage from the book of Sirach about the ministry of the great prophets Elijah and Elisha. It's a sign to us that we're not going to read any more from the Elijah-Elisha cycle. There's a lot more to it, but it's not included in the daily liturgical readings. So if you want to read more about Elijah and Elisha, please do so. There's a lot of fascinating little tales, although I warn you, a lot of people die in those stories of the prophets. Anyway, we're concluding that section, and this first reading praises Elijah and Elisha as great, holy, powerful prophets. They were certainly men of prayer, because there's no one who has access to the power of God who doesn't pray. And today's gospel is all about prayer. At the heart of today's gospel is the prayer we know as the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. So let's reflect a little bit about prayer. Naturally, when we first learn prayers as children, our focus is on memorizing the words, because if you don't know the words, then how can you say you know the prayers? So as young children, we learn the sign of the cross, we learn the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. That's very important, to know the words, especially with young children. But it doesn't take long before we realize, well, there's more to prayer than just words, and that's what Jesus says here. Before he teaches the Our Father, he says, don't think that it's just a matter of babbling on a lot of words. So we have to use words, and we have to know the right words, but it's not only words. That's crucial to understanding prayer. When I first came to the Philippines, not only did I have to learn the Our Father in Tagalog, the Amanamin, Sumasalangit ka, Sambahin ang ngalan mo, but I also had to learn the Our Father in English, because there was a different version of the Our Father back then, remember? Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. How did it go? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That was the Our Father back then, at least in the liturgy. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's how it was. So I had to learn a new version of the Our Father in English. Now, that version of the Our Father was chosen by the bishops back in the 70s or 60s. They called it the ecumenical version. Apparently there were different Christian groups who wanted to update the language of the Our Father, so they got rid of the thys and the hallowed and the language that was outdated, came up with a new translation. But then, I guess that experiment didn't work. Even the Protestants don't use that ecumenical version. So when the Universal Church revised the English liturgy, the Roman Missal, the bishops of the Philippines said, let's go back to the traditional English version of the Our Father, and that's the one we have now in the liturgy, and that's the one I just read in today's gospel. Since we're talking about the Our Father, it's also good to note that our Holy Father, that is Pope Leo XIV, has mentioned several times the value of being able to pray the Our Father together with the whole world in Latin, the Pater Noster. That's why we prayed the Pater Noster last Saturday, and with the help of the men's choir, we're going to sing the Pater Noster, I hope, every Saturday. We'll get used to it. Not only because it's important to know, but because it gives us a visible, well, an audible unity with the whole church. Our music director, Brother Bott, pointed out to me that when Pope Leo went to bless the Sagrada Familia Church in Barcelona, and he was in Spain last week, hundreds of thousands of people prayed together the Pater Noster using that traditional melody. So all over the world, this is a kind of a movement to pray the Pater Noster, at least that traditional chant melody, so we can all pray it together. Okay, that's important, to have words that God himself has taught us to use in our communication with him. But we know there is more to prayer than words. Jesus says it is himself. In fact, as we dig deeper into prayer and we recognize we're being immersed in the relationship between the Father and the Son, or the relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we realize that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit don't have to tell each other anything. They don't have to inform each other. They don't even have to use words. They have a communion of love. Jesus says we don't have to inform the Father of our needs. Our Father knows what we need before we ask him. So we should not limit communication simply to the transfer of knowledge about something. That's part of communication, especially on the human level. I know something you don't know. I can convey that knowledge to you with words. But that's not what happens in prayer, because God already knows. We don't have to update him. What we do need to do is enter into a deeper communion with him, a communion of love. And we do use words for that, but sometimes the words kind of fall into the background. That's why it's possible to pray the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, without thinking exactly about every single thing we're saying. What we're doing is we're opening up our hearts to a deeper communion with him, a union of wills, a union in love. When we pray the Rosary, for example, which includes the Lord's Prayer, we're not only thinking about the words, but we're also thinking about the mysteries. And we're not only thinking about the mysteries, but we're opening ourselves to the mind of God, the thought of God, the love of God. That's why it's possible to pray even when we're doing something else. Pray when we're traveling, pray when we're working, pray when we're walking, because human beings have this capacity to operate on different levels: the vocal level, the mental level, the spiritual level, the emotional level. Prayer has to do with all of these. Today, we rejoice that the Lord has given us this prayer, this precious, perfect gift of prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's not simply words. It's a sharing in Jesus' own relationship with the Father. That's why we start out, Our Father. Our Father. The very one whom Jesus refers to as Father, we can refer to as Father. And we pray not first of all for ourselves or for what we want or what we need. We pray that he be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. We honor you for who you are. We want the honor that you have in heaven to reign also in us here on earth. We want your will to be done here on earth, here in my life, as it is in heaven. It's honoring of God. It's love of God. It's not asking him for things right away, but respecting our relationship with him and his love for us. But then after that, we get to, yes, we do ask him for things because we're in need. We need every day, in fact, every moment of every day. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need just to survive. But also spiritually, give us the Eucharist. Give us the bread of life. Because without the bread of life, we have no life. Give us mercy for our sins. We're sinners. We don't deserve anything from you. But you taught us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses. So we pray it with confidence in your mercy, not in our worthiness. And then we acknowledge that if we don't forgive, well, then how can we demand or expect any forgiveness from God? If we forgive, then that means there's space in us to be forgiven. If we refuse to forgive, we're also, in effect, refusing to be forgiven. That's all included in the Our Father. A wonderful prayer. A great gift for us. So as we reflect on this gift of prayer, and as we put it into practice, we give thanks for the words. Yes, these words. Also for the meaning of the words. Also for the spirit with which we can pray them. Also for the relationship which is implied by them. So that we can be one with the Father as Jesus is one with the Father. We can love as God loves because his love is planted in us. We enter into a communion of love which far transcends all words.